always good to see the big man on a Friday afternoon looking refreshed, looking almost relaxed, considering there's five kids out the back he brought in with him. Tomo, good afternoon.
Hello, Danny boy. It's been an interesting day. School holidays, mate.
School holidays.
School holidays.
Grab any kid you can find, just grab him under the arm and just come with me, fella.
The Pied Piper. I was just walking down Swan Street and about five started following into SEN world here. No, I've got my three rascals, and I've got the two cousins, Will and Ando, the boys, the lads. They're all in at Team SEN at the moment, mate. They're tearing the carpet up out the back there.
They're having a hell of a time. A lot of iPads out there. A lot of technology, my stars.
It's a challenge, my man. And all the parents out there at the moment, they're nodding their head and saying, yeah, that balance between getting the kids outside to play some sport and to have some good, healthy fun in the sun and away from those machines is a real challenge, my friend.
It is.
The way I've got them today was earlier, get outside, I locked the doors on them. I said, because you're going to be at SEN with me later, and when I'm there, you can play those machines all you like because I don't want to hear from you.
Right. That makes perfect sense to me. You've done a good job.
It's been good, though, mate. It's been school holidays time. Great to catch up with the family.
Yes.
And great to get the AFL season underway. Loved last weekend. Was a ripper.
Yeah, well, wasn't it? Nice way to kick off the season. Had some big results. Had some important wins. Had some disappointing losses, Tomo.
Yes.
Sort of set the tone for this week.
You've actually let the SEN listeners down. I had a good tipping week last week, and I didn't get a chance to communicate those to the listeners.
Well, it was Good Friday.
I missed out.
Good Friday. Yeah,
I missed out on Collingwood Brisbane.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, I missed that one too.
That was the only one.
I missed. Who was the other one? I missed one of the other games. Who played last?
Bulldogs
week?
West Coast. Did you miss that one? No, Gold Coast Melbourne.
Tipped the Bulldogs. Oh yeah, that one. Gold Coast. Yeah, I tipped the Gold Coast. Anyway, instead of the D. So you were 8 for 8 of 9.
Solid start.
Nice work from you. Righto. Well, let's get straight into it then, Tomo. We've got plenty to get through, of course. 9 games as always. And it kicks off tonight in the West, the old Subiaco these days, Domain Stadium, West Coast tackling Carlton. In for the West Coast. Schofield's going to be important. Jamie Bennell, Tunbridge, and Duggan on debut. Out go Butler. Mitch Brown with that really unfortunate knee injury. He's out for the season. Scotty Selwood with an ankle. And Tom Lamb. And for the Blues, Jason Tutt gets his first crack in navy blue colours. Levi Casbolt. We're going to rock the Casbolt at Domain Stadium tonight for the Blues. And out go Dale Thomas and Christian Jacks, both injured, Tomo. Both of these teams, disappointing last week. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
Yeah, I thought West Coast less disappointing. I think the Western Bulldogs and the pressure they apply, that was a really good game of footy. West Coast turned the football over a little bit too much, probably the difference in the game in the end. I think they'd be looking forward to getting home, and this is going to be a huge challenge for the Blues. They're a club, and I really like David. If you haven't had a read of David King's article in the Herald Sun today, people out there, and you enjoy a good footy read, I think...
Double page spread.
It's a beauty. And it just talks about the club. They really don't know whether they're Arthur or Martha at the moment. I think there's probably four or five different opinions on their list. The list management over the past decade whether they're recruiting for a top-up, whether they're actually redoing their whole list. Really, they're a club that seem like they're half-pregnant in a lot of ways. And then you've got, Mick talking about his situation in the media is going to start putting pressure on. Then you've got the players coming out and saying, well, hang on a minute, that's discrediting us to say that that's actually going to affect us in Zach Tui. And I thought that was a really good comment by Zach, but the fact that it goes completely against what the coach is saying tells me that the messaging in that club is higgledy-piggledy. It's all over the place. I mean, where is the clear communication, that one message that the best teams do it? Unfortunately, you see it with clubs that are struggling. They're all over the place. And for me, that's one reason at the moment. When I look at this game, very simply, Judd and Murphy have to have a ripping game.
Yep.
And if they do, they're a chance to win. They have to be best.
Gibbs as well.
These guys have to be... Carlton's best players just have to have an out-and-out cracker.
It didn't play well last week, the Blues' best players.
No, really. Murphy. I thought Judd was good.
Judd was okay.
I thought Gibbs was okay. I wouldn't say he was hopeless.
Didn't quite like Bryce's game, but that's cool.
Yeah. And even saying that, early in the game, when you look at... If you go back and watch the game, early on... I think it was more to do with Richmond's poor play rather than Carlton really dominating the game. It wasn't that first quarter of football. It wasn't a great quarter of football by any stretch, to be honest. And the Blues leading 4-2, in the end, Richmond got they started to get the game on their terms, and the Blues didn't give a yelp, which was disappointing from there. And so travelling over to the West, I know that the Blues, it's not a place that they fear. They have,
they're good over there.
They're quite good over there. But in saying that, when I looked at the two teams overall, I think too much reliance, once again, is on Gibbs, Judd, Murphy, Simpson, those four, or you can add one or two more of that, best players. Whereas even without, so Selwood goes out of the lineup, they're missing one or two more, the West Coast Eagles. Oh, I think they're more an even team across the park. They've got a better spread of players and they match up very well. I love McGovern's work. He's got to go back and play a key role for them in defence. He's a no-nonsense footballer. He's been a great pickup for them. Getting Schofield back is very, very important for them. And I think they've also got the goal-kicking power down there. If it gets wet, well, it's going to be who wants it the most. We all know that with those type of games. But, you know, you've still got Kennedy. Lysette comes back into the game. Cripps kicking five last week gives him some confidence. You know, McGinnity and these type of players, they're good, solid players. And then you've got Lacroix, who's going to be going down there as well. I think West Coast have just got a touch of class over the Blues in this one for me.
Mm.
Bit touch stronger if you look at the broadness or the whole 22 players from each side, and they've got it on their home deck. That's where I have it.
So you're an Eagles man tonight. I'm actually in the Blues camp tonight. I reckon they won't play as bad as they did last week after the three quarters. I think Casbot coming in is a huge bonus for the way they'll set up, and
yep,
he's going to stretch the Eagles defensively. We know most of their key players defensively are out. That's why they've pushed McGovern back. Schofield comes in to help and assist that tonight, which will give them some sort of cover, but I'm just not sure it's going to be what they'll need. And I, like you, think that their leaders, their experienced players, their better players, will play better on the Western Australian surface. They do it very well. Last couple of times I've watched these guns play, and we talk of Bryce Gibbs, Mark Murphy, Chris Judd, and I'll throw in Chris Yaron as well for this, and Cade Simpson as well, who's been a wonderful stalwart for them. I think they love playing over in the West. Just the way when I've watched them, they just seem to love it.
Yep.
So I'm gonna back them in. My concern is they do get opened up on the rebound. We discussed this on Pure Footy yesterday with Kingy and Luffy, that Richmond were able to go coast to coast from defensive 50 to forward 52 easily. I would suggest because West Coast have had their issues in defence, that won't be as accessible to them this week. And that's why I think the Blues will be too much for the Eagles to handle tonight.
Well, there you go. Opposite sides. We'll have to wait and see. But it's definitely, it's one of those games, isn't it? I mean, both teams are in a very similar situation. They're in that group of teams from 7 to 12 on the ladder, really, when you look at both sides. Mind you, the Blues, if they lose this one and then you look at their draw going forward, they might be lower than the 12. But West Coast have always got home ground advantage. You'd think they'll win enough to be in that bracket.
Yeah, I'm not sort of 9-4. I'm probably 10-15, really, with those two teams. It's going to be a difficult year for them. Shane's in Berwick. We'll get to him before we get to the break. G'day, Shane. Where's Shane? Is he there?
You there, Shane?
Shane. Where's
Rob's
my man?
Rob's brother. Tomo, how are you?
G'day.
G'day, buddy.
Listen, Carlton, they just get opened up, like you said, Daniel. They could not catch Richmond on that break at all the other week. And I just think West Coast, they're always a bigger bodied side than Carlton. When we do play well over there, but I just don't think we've got it. We lack a lot of confidence in the forward line. Levi would be good to knock a few over, but he's got to take marks. And like you said, the midfield's just really got to fire. I just don't think we've got it in us.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for the call, Shane. I agree. The midfield have to fire. You know, no doubt about that. They've got to win this the midfield battle 60-40, maybe even 65-35 to get the
job
done.
And they'll be up against, because Nat Nui should get first hands on it a lot.
Well, the reason I look at that as well, and I mean, Rosa, Pritis, Shuey, Gaff as the key on ballers for the West Coast Eagles. Now, there is question marks about these guys and their consistency, a bit about the hard ball and different bits and pieces, but they're good players. And they put it together, they're going to be a strong midfield. Nat Nui getting hands on the ball. It's a tough one to start. I think it's a tough round for tipping. I'm going with the West.
Tomo's going for the Eagles. I'm going for the Blues. That's Friday Night Footy. You can hear it all unfold live on Melbourne's home of footy, 11:16 SEN. Don't forget Luke Beveridge in the coach's box from 6 to 7. With the boys in the studio before we throw over to Domain Stadium for the big clash tonight. We'll be back after the break, go through the rest of the round two games with Nathan Thompson, the People's Hamstring, the national tipping champion, more importantly, on the Friday Footy Preview. Nathan Thompson is with us in the Friday Footy Preview on halftime. Great to have the big man back every week as we build up to this round of football, or whichever round of football it is, on any given Friday. And we're going to talk now about the next game up for grabs, Tomo, Richmond and the Western Bulldogs. at the MCG tomorrow. Kane Lambert has been elevated and he's in. Brett DeLidio out suspended. Kane Lambert obviously on debut. And for the Bulldogs, Ace Cordy in. Your mate, the big man from Kyneton,
Jack Redpath,
omitted.
Yeah, I, to be honest, was a bit surprised about that. He's had a reasonable pre-season and 1 week, was it, he had a poor day, no doubt about it, his first round in, and got the old McIver out
the Kyber pass.
Yeah, out you go. Interesting, they bring in Ace Cordy, so whether they feel that Ace Cordy can just give them a bit more ruck support in there, but I don't know. He's just having a look at the side there. Is Campbell...
Big Tommy.
Is Tommy Campbell
Tommy
in the
Campbell?
Team there?
Can't quite see Big Tommy.
So no, there you go. So they're bringing him in for that extra rucking player in the team as well. But that's the one reason. I look at their team at the moment, and I think Cordy and also Boyd really unproven to actually put goal scoreboard pressure on at the moment for the Western Bulldogs. Puts a bit of pressure on Dalhouse, Stringer, Cramery to be their goal kickers and also to get a few from the midfield as well. And alternatively, I think the Richmond side have got players who are, you know, especially Jack Riewoldt, who started in really good form. And then you've got, you know, Big Ben Griffith showed a bit last week. Also, Lloyd is a natural goal kicker. I think Richmond have got the more... Dustin Martin's going to go down there and kick his one or two. I think they've got more players that are going to put the scoreboard pressure on. And the midfield battle, gee, you've got to love the Bulldogs and this young midfield. Ling Zhong has just been a fantastic player for them this year so far in the preseason, and what he did last week. Bond and Pally and McRae, we've all spoken. Everyone just keeps talking about them. But they are a young midfield, and I think what you're going to get with that is a little bit of inconsistency as well. And I think Richmond is going to have, you know, they should tick the midfield this week. Big job for Marich to get over Minson. Big job for Cochin and Martin to have a bigger impact than they did last week. They were pretty poor last week, those two players, by their standards. And I think that what you'll see from that is Richmond to be a touch too strong in this game. Loving what the Bulldogs are doing. I think it's a bit this game... Certainly, I don't see the Bulldogs out of it by any stretch. If they pressure like they did last week and have been, their hunger for that contested ball is there and their young players stand up. This could be an absolute beauty, this game. But I'm going to go with the Tigers. I think they're probably just that rung ahead of the Bulldogs in their preparation, you know, a year ahead. And that sees them winning this game for me by about 3 goals.
Now, I'm with you. It's a pretty good summary, I reckon, of this game. It certainly won't be as easy as it was for the Tigers in the last 3 quarters against the Blues. And we talked about how they're able to open up the Blues with no pressure through the middle. The Bulldogs will pressure them. But I tend to agree with you that they're just a little bit more advanced and should be too good in a very tight game. The other thing that plays in their favour is the MCG factor, I think.
The one thing Richmond need to be careful of, they can't rely on winning the ball back at half-back like I think sometimes they fall into the trap. Their midfielders have got to take control of the game and take a bigger chunk out of the game early. When the heat is on early, they need to stand up. Last week I thought they were really poor in that first quarter. Don't want to have a slow start and give the Bulldogs a sniff early in this game because, you know, young teams get the adrenaline pumping. They're going to be very, very hard to stop.
Let's talk about the GWS Giants and Melbourne will be there. Manny Granlund, Kevin Bartlett, Scotty Lucas at SEN Footy, Star Trek Oval tomorrow. And Wilson comes in for Hampton for GWS and a couple of big ins for the Ds after their big win last week. Dawes and Vince for Tumpus and Kennedy Harris. Tomo in Canberra, which way does this go?
Oh, they're my roughie of the week, Melbourne. I'm going to tip the Demons half. I really like I like their game last week. I think they take great confidence from that. I really like the way that they've bolstered their midfield. I know that it happened last year, of course, with Tyson and Salem, two young players that they recruited to their club. They picked up a young man by the name of Vandenberg, who is just a red-hot goer,
yep.
Adds some real spirit to the club. Viney's another year older. And that forward line, I mean, Watts probably has his best game, one of his better games for the club, kicking 3, but Hogan is just going to keep getting better and better. Chris Dawes is an important player back in.
Jeffy Garlett was fantastic.
That's Jeffy Garlett back to his best.
Yeah.
Working hard, speed machine, kicked 2 goals, 4. Unlucky, one of those was touched. He snapped a goal from about 35 out. You know, that's if that's not touched, it's 3-3, and he's had an awesome afternoon.
Yep.
Still, Tom McDonald versus Jeremy Cameron. Tune in for that matchup. Tom McDonald is one of the better, my opinion from watching him the last few years, one of the better backmen in the competition at the moment. Really like the way he goes about his business. That is going to be a ripping matchup. And if you look at their defence, it's looking a lot more steady. Lyndon Dunn's played a great role in steadying them up down there. Very good kicker and user of the football. Neville Jetta has just improved out of sight, and players like Colin Garland, then less pressure on them to take the big beasts and play such a huge role in that defensive area. So Lumumba was great last week. I'm going for the Demons.
No love for the Giants at all?
Not for me. I think the Giants this year, they won last week and wasted the football a lot against the Saints. Like guys like Haynes as a player of the future, thought he was very, very good last week. Mumford was fantastic. He's not going to get it all his own way this week against Mark Jamar. Jeremy Cameron, even though he kicked four? He had about four kicks and kicked four.
He's
looking like he's moving well. That's why I mentioned he's fit and healthy again. I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup with Tommy McDonald. And the two young players that really stood out were Whitfield and Shield for me. I thought they were fantastic. But, in saying that, I think the Demons are a really good roughie in this one, if you look at the sports bet odds.
I'm on the Giants at Star Trek Oval. Dylan Shiel, I think, is just some sort of player, and he needs more respect than he's getting, as far as I'm concerned, if they're to stop the Giants this weekend. Cam McCarthy was very good last week as well. I like the introduction of Patful down there in their defence just to consolidate and solidify their back six, I think, at home, effectively.
Like the game of Heath Shaw as well last week.
Yeah.
Trying to think of his opponent, but he just he had him bluffed right from the start of the game. Oh, it was Ahmed Saad. Had him bluffed right from the start of the game, and then he was able to dominate that defence. So good to see him healthy and up and running. He's great. Been a great player, Shorey.
He has. You've gone the D's. I've gone the Giants. Yep. I hope the D's perform well. It was a great story last week, but I'm just not sure it's going to happen this week. Collingwood Adelaide's going to be interesting tomorrow, 4:35, Etihad Stadium. We will be there, Brett Phillips, and you with Nick Maxwell calling the action. Broomhead and Seedsman come in, bit of speed for the Pies, side bottom out for a little while with that thumb, and DeGoey omitted. Grieg in for Lions for the Adelaide Crows, who was simply awesome last week, Colin.
They certainly were. If I could say one thing about the Crows over the last few seasons, inconsistent has been at the top of their list. So this is their challenge. New coach, aggressive game last week. They did switch off for a quarter, but in saying that, their pressure was fantastic. And what that allowed was them to really show how potent they are in that forward line. Betts, Walker, Lynch is an underrated player. Jenkins is a big monster, 6'6". They've got guys that can do some damage on the scoreboard. And when you look through the middle, they've got some guys that can really play the game. You know, they've got a couple of superstars in there. I mean, led by Dangerfield. Jacobs is a great ruckman, and he should really give them first use of the ball. I'm going for the Crows in this one.
Yep.
Pies did a great job to win in Brisbane.
Yeah,
really. You know, they came out breathing fire. The heat was on up there, 30 degrees. Tough night to play, and the Pies, I thought, were fantastic in winning that game and leaving Brisbane with the 4 points. I think that Adelaide, they mean business this year. I think they're going to be too strong for the Pies. Side bottom really hurts, yeah. And they'll just get over the line.
Oh, I think they'll do it comfortably. Yeah. Seven goals.
Seven. No, I'm gonna seven. Three goals. Goal game. Three goal game.
Seven goals. The Adelaide Crows. They were awesome. Pies pressure was terrific. I'm not sure they'll be able to apply that to the quality of the Adelaide Crows this weekend. Gold Coast tackle St Kilda will be there as well for that game. Julian DeStoop, Brett Thomas, Adrian Fletcher calling the action at Metricon Stadium tomorrow night. Tape Lynch big in there for the Gold Coast Suns, and Lemons comes in. Shaw out suspended, McKenzie and Gorringe on the out of there for the Gold Coast, lost to the D's. And for the Saints, Curran and Billings in. Montagna out with a knee, and Templeton misses as well. Sam Fisher plays 200 games for the Saints tomorrow.
Yeah, well done to Sam. Been a very good servant of the footy club, Sammy Fisher, over 200 games, so well done to him. In beginning is Tom Lynch for the Gold Coast Suns. They win this comfortably half. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that one. No excuses with this team, though. I thought last week they were pretty poor. They're chock full of talent. They just turned up thinking they were going to win the game of footy, and it slapped them in the face. The old cold fish.
It hurts.
It hurts every now and then, but too much talent in this team for them to play like that too often. So looking forward to the younger brigade, Prestia, Bennell, May, Thompson, Lynch, Day, all these guys, Martin, Swallow, have I mentioned him? I think I have.
You just did then.
Too much talent, Danny. Too much talent to be playing like Mutz like last week.
Still enjoying Jack Nunes' work. Love Jack Loney as well. Great to see Jack Billings back in the team. They'll go better at the Saints, but they won't be able to beat Gold Coast at Metricon.
I have had a discussion with him since the game, and there was things brought up about it, but we've had discussions before with Mitchell, and we understand that this might be a possibility to come up, and he's quite fine with it. He's in a really good headspace now, and the way that he's come to our football club and the impact that he's had on our football club already has been huge. And Yeah, I mean, personally, I wouldn't be going out there and saying it, but if people choose to do it, then he's ready for it.
Joel Selwood last night on the Footy Show on the allegations. One of the Hawks players on Monday was sledging Mitch Clark about his mental illness and the battle he's been facing in the last couple of years. Nathan Thompson's with us on the Friday Footy Preview. And, of course, Tomo's had his own publicised battle with mental illness. Tomo, what did you think when you heard that yesterday? Is there a line?
So I suppose it's an assumption.
At this stage, still allegations.
You know, if Mitch says that it happened and he heard something that he thought was untoward, then, you know, and he sounds... I was at the game, so I saw Mitch did go off a few times. He actually lost his temper quite badly second and third quarters in that game and a little bit in the fourth. And it was interesting. And when I was watching, I thought, I wonder what's been said out there. A bit of verbal chit-chat going on between the two clubs.
Yep.
From my point of view, I think it's unnecessary. I think that it's uneducated if a player is actually verbally attacking Mitch Clark regarding this issue. And if it did happen from a Hawthorn point of view, I'd be saying, I think you're a better club than that. And I did have it happen to myself when I was playing. Not often,
okay.
Very rarely. Did have it happen as well. But I think Joel Selwood summed it up very, very well then when he said, if a player wants to, you know, do that, then Mitch is prepared for it. I wouldn't do it. What I'd be saying is probably that's what I used to think as well. When I walked off the field, you know, and a guy had sledged me about mental illness or something, stooped to that level,
yep.
You know, it just had me questioning what sort of a person they were. You know, I mean, you'll have some people on one side of the fence saying, hey, you're on the field, what goes on the field stays on the field, all that sort of, you can sledge about anything you like. And then you've got, you know, you'll have people from all sorts of camps. But me personally, when it happened, it certainly had me feeling that didn't put me off my game. At all. I took no notice of it whatsoever. Well, I got no control over what other players are willing to do or say. Mm. But I certainly thought to myself, you're a pretty ordinary unit. And
fair enough.
For me, the Hawthorn Footy Club should be more educated than any of the other clubs in this, considering Jeff Kennett is the chairman of Beyond Blue, spent a lot of time at that football club, and they are a supporter of the Beyond Blue Cup with Geelong
Good
Football
point.
Club
I
as well. I'm pretty sure it's Geelong Football Club as well. So education would be the least of the problems for the players at the Hawks, and they are a classier outfit than that to be needing to attack other players on a mental health issue rather than letting their footy do the talking or the normal sort of chit-chat that goes on out there without going over the line. That would just be my thought on it.
Fair enough, too. Pretty well said, I reckon. I've forgotten the Jeff Kennett link, of course, with Beyond Blue and no longer at the Hawks anymore, but certainly a key power broker of recent years.
Really good text up here, too, if you don't mind me putting it up half before we move
on.
No one is willing to confirm it happened, so how can people speculate? Tarnishes the club. Maybe the sledge wasn't actually related to mental illness, but he has made the connection himself. And you know what? That is very, very possible. That is very possible, and that's what we mentioned right at the start of this conversation. We are assuming, and in a way, that's a very good text. But when you've got Joel Selwood saying that he's spoken to Mitch, and Mitch felt that things that were said were untoward, well, something has been said out there, and so that leads us as the media to talk about it and actually align the two and make a comment on it.
Yep, no, I think that's fair enough. Pretty well said, Tomo, as well. We'll get to that game in a second, Geelong and Freo, because it's a big game. But Port Adelaide, Sydney's before that, Tomo, at the Adelaide Oval. Huge game, this one. Sydney dodged a bullet, played out of their skins that last quarter of the win against Essendon last week. Port Adelaide went down in the tight one to Freo. Redden comes in for Butcher. Jackson Trengove plays his 100th game.
Yep.
And McVeigh in for Cunningham for the Sydney Swans.
I may be wrong, Half, but I'd have Sydney favourites in this game, and I'm going to tip Sydney for that reason. They had a slow start last week. The football they played in the last quarter is very much true to what the Swans can do. The Bombers had stopped, but they're better for that run, the Swans. And looking at their team, mate, they are a very, very good football side. And Franklin and Tippett are going to cause teams all sorts of troubles. Carlisle and Homsch would be the likely two with Trengove involved would be the likely three to try and curb Reed. You put Reed into that sort of forward mix as well to try and curb those big players for the Swans. But I'm just not sure that they're capable of doing that. They've got to win the midfield battle, which is an absolute cracker. Players like Jack Parker was brilliant last week before getting hurt, but he's obviously going to play. Josh Kennedy is an absolute superstar. And they go up against the very, very good players from Port Adelaide. Polek, I thought, was very good. He was very dangerous for Port Adelaide against Fremantle. Travis Boak, we know what he can do. Ollie Wines is just getting better and better. He's just going to be a fantastic player throughout his career. terrific game of footy.
Yep.
But for me, I think Sydney have got a better defence. I think if Sydney can break even in the midfield, they've got a more potent forward line. And for me, the Swans can win this game away from home is the way I look at it.
I'm with you. I reckon the Swans will get up in this one too. They haven't mind playing over in Adelaide of recent years. And although Port Adelaide played a really high-intensity game last week against Freo, a really good quality match, I just think they might be a bit flat after that. And Sydney come to town and take their points. Tomo, let's get to the Sunday games. I have to rush through a few of these.
Okay.
And they'll be discussed more further through the weekend on SEN, so you won't miss anything. Geelong and Freo, Simmons Stadium. Extended squads from here. Mackie, Stanley, Hall and Smith, Murdoch in. And Motlop out with a club suspension, of course. Mzungu, Crozier and Tabiner in for the Dockers.
Oh, this is a hard one, half. Really, another one of these tough games. It's a tough round, as I said. I'm going to go Freo in this game. And the reason for that is I went to that Geelong game. I think they've got a lot of improvement. That would have been another cold fish slap in the face for them, taking on the Hawks, who they've got a great record against, and being blown out of the water. I think the concern for Freo is going to be those two big forwards. We spoke about Mitch Clark. He was quite good in his opening game for the Cats. He'll just keep improving, the big fella. Tom Hawkins is always dangerous. Those two guys can cause all sorts of damage. But the Cats did just look a bit slow of a gallop. Mm. And the Freo side hold no concerns about travelling down to Cat Park and playing down there where this game is. Very similar size ground to Subiaco. They know how to play these type of grounds. Their form in round one shows they're up and about for the contest, and I've got them winning in an absolute nail-biter.
I've gone with you. I'm with Freo as well after their performance. I agree with you. The away team will get the chockies there at Simmons Stadium, which will mean the Cats are zipping two for the first time since 2004. Essendon, Hawthorne, MCG, Sunday, Beauty, extended squads again. Dempsey, Gwilt, McKernan, elevated and included. Ashby and Dalgleish, outgo Myers and Fletcher both injured. And for the Hawks, Birchall back in, Schoenmakers, O'Rourke and Sicily, Liam Shields, unlucky with that hamstring again.
Forget about the talking on the field. The Hawks also spoke with actions. They were fantastic last week. And the interesting part, they won by, what did they win by, half?
62,
about 10 goals.
Yep.
They looked like they had improvement. They looked like they had improvement up their sleeve. And they are just such an even team. James Frawley really liked his game last week. He just looks like he's fit straight into what Hawks are looking for. His speed and fitness was very, very good. The usual players caused all sorts of trouble. Brewsty, what a player he is. But Essendon played very well, three quarters. I think the travel and the tough hit out against the Swans won't help them. They need that eight-day break. I think the Hawks will get them, but the Bombers will cause some teams some real trouble this year. I think if they give their best, they're going to give the Hawks a bit of trouble, but the Hawks are just a touch ahead of the
Hawks. Bombers to win that one for me too, Tomo. Essendon put up a fight earlier. I reckon the first half will be good fun.
They're going to be all right, the Bombers.
Yeah, you might be right. North Melbourne and Brisbane, we'll chat more about that with Matty Campbell after the break on the Friday Footy Preview. All right, let's find out the latest very, very shortly from sportsbet.com.au. Just quickly, Tomo, North and Brisbane on Sunday.
Yeah.
Nahas, Tarrant Brown and Wood in at Jacobs out for the Kangas. Maguire, Golby, Close, Cutler, O'Brien for the Lions. Merritt and Rockliffe, two big outs.
Yeah, agree with everything that everyone has said. Very, very disappointing, the Kangaroos. They do bounce back well, but beware, the Brisbane Lions also were pretty poor in their first outing against the Pies in that first three quarters. I think they'll be breathing a bit of fire. Kangaroos to win it for me. They should win by about 25 points or so. They need to get more out of their forwards, but you've got to win the midfield battle to start. You've got to win that contested ball, and they were smashed in it last week. They need to turn up hungry, Danny Boy, the old Kangaroos, and show a bit more ticker and get the business done. So
I'm with you.
Be careful. Lions have got a much better team than the past few years, but I think Kangas to bounce back.
Kangas for me, and that one I'll be there with KB and Matty Granlund and Terry Wallace on Sunday. Let's get to Matty Campbell.
On 1116 SEN, a sportsbet.com.au update. Here's Matty Campbell.
Good afternoon, Matthew. Round two action not too far away. What are the big movers?
The movers, okay. Well, West Coast and Carlton. West Coast $1.50, $2.65 for Carlton. They're both holding at that sort of price. Money for both. Richmond have been back. They're into $1.35. No love for the Doggies, even though they were good last week out to $3.30. Tomo, I know you're keen on the Demons. They're $2.65. Money for Adelaide $1.44. Collingwood $2.85. No money for St Kilda. Money for Fremantle. $2.10 into $1.77. Geelong, I don't know what it's about Stephen Motlop, but Geelong out the door to $2.05. And no love for Essendon. Everyone wants to back the Hawks, and I think that's going to happen for the entire year. Hawthorn $1.18, Essendon $4.85.
Who are they backing tomorrow at the championships in Sydney?
The championships? Well, they're backing Well, they're not backing contributor. There's a bit of money for Adelaide. I mean, this is in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, $4 million for the race. And the Japanese horse To the World holding form or holding price at $4. Really good race day. $10 million of prize money. It's our last day of the autumn, so races 1, 2, 3, and 4, same as what we've done over the last 3 weeks. Have a bet in those four races. If your horse runs second or third, we'll refund your bet back up to $100 cash.
Oh, beautiful. Of course, the Augusta National Golf Club launched the US Masters last night, or this morning our time. Mm-hmm. A few Aussies in good positions too. What's the market there?
Jason Day, second favourite at $6, but Jordan Smith is the man to catch. He's at $3. Ooh. Rory McIlroy, $11. Justin Rose, $12. Sergio's at $9 with Dustin Johnson. And look at the Aussies, he's got to go down a bit to find Adam Scott. He's at $51. And Johnny Sendon, well, he's at three figures.
All right, check out all the markets there at sportsbet.com.au. Matty, have a great weekend.
You too, guys.
Good man, Matty Campbell. Legend. With us every Friday on the Friday Footy Preview. We'll get to a break. Tomo will come back and go through your tips for round two. The all-important people's hamstring tips of round two coming up after this. Tomo, what are your tips, please?
Let's run through them. I'm putting on Twitter at the moment, but they are West Coast, Richmond, Melbourne, Adelaide, Gold Coast, Sydney, Frio, Hawthorn, and the North Melbourne Kangaroos. And if you want to follow me on Twitter and check those out weekly, at Tomo N23, and it's THOMMON23.
Great to see you, pal. Thanks for that.
Thank you, sir.
Boys up next. Have a great weekend.